Thank you. It was funny. It was, I think, 2012 when some of you guys came to Estonia. Martin said to me, "Oh, I got this awesome wife for you back in England." But in Estonia, we have this saying that the cables in guys' brain are very long. So it takes like a long time for the information to actually start to make sense. But I think it finally is, so praise the Lord. So should we pray God would speak to us this morning? Holy Spirit, we just ask you that you would come and speak to us this morning, that you would teach us something of yourself, and you would show us something of yourself that we need to go on from this moment. Help us, Holy Spirit. Guide this sermon now. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in August, I was speaking about, like kind of on the theme of heart, and what do we believe in heart. Deep down inside of us is very important of what, how we live and how we act and that, what our identity is like and all these things. And I would like to continue a little bit on that theme and talk about heart in a little bit of a different way. And about, you know, how often we are deceived in our hearts. And that affects the outcome of our lives in so many ways. And so how we can uncover these deceptions and these things we believe and kind of get rid of them and deal with them. So I want to talk about that. And I'm just going to read from Isaiah 44. And here in the beginning it talks about the time when the Israelites, they fell into idolatry and starting worshiping false gods and making their own little gods out of wood and different things like that to worship. And it's talking about the foolishness of worshiping these idols, because these are the things that man has made rather than worshiping God. And just the last verses here in the first part of this, the beginning of the chapter, the verses 9 to 20 talks about these idols. And in the end here, so I'm going to read from the verse number 18. And it talks about these people worshiping these idols. "They know not, nor do they discern, for he has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot understand. No one considers, nor is there knowledge or discernment to say, 'Half of it I burned in the fire, I also baked bread on its coals, I roasted meat and have eaten, and shall I make the rest of it an abomination? Shall I fall down before a block of wood?' He feeds on ashes. A deluded heart has led him astray, and he cannot deliver himself or say, 'Is there not the lie in my right hand?'" The last verse, "He feeds on ashes. A deluded heart has led him astray." If you read it in Estonian Bible, the word-for-word translation for that would be, "He who chases after ashes is forced to do so by his deceived heart." And it's pretty much what it says here, but it kind of gives you this picture of when your heart is deceived, what you end up doing is that you start to chase after ashes. And what is ash? Ash is something that has been left over from something that was good. If you burn all the wood and all the heat that comes out of it and all the energy and all the good stuff comes out of it, the ashes are left. And they're leftovers. They're nothing valuable in themselves. And if our hearts are deceived, what it does to us is it forces us, it makes us chase after things that actually have no value or life left in themselves anymore. So it's very important that we know what our heart condition is and that we aren't deceived in our hearts. Stuart was talking about this a while ago, and he said, you know, the deception, the whole definition of deception is this, that we don't know that we are being deceived. If we knew that we were being deceived, it wouldn't be deception. It would be like a wrong choice, or it would be something sinful or stuff like that. But deception, the whole definition of it is that we don't know. Something is in our hearts that we don't know about. And so what we can do about this is we need to learn how to uncover these things and see through things that actually aren't good for us, because they make us chase after ashes. And the word heart there, in Hebrew, it's leb, and it's not just like the whole word in heart in the whole of the Old Testament, the same word used here. It's not just like the physical heart. The same word is used over 1,000 times in the Bible, maybe 500 times it's translated as a heart, but many times it's translated as a mind, or a mindset, or understanding, or basically it means the inner man and who we are inside. And this is where all the things come out of. So it's very important that in our hearts we don't have any deception. Okay, so I'm gonna talk about our hearts a little bit. But just so that it would be, I'm going to use this little bit of an image, and I'm going to explain this to you so the rest of the preach will make sense as well. But just this image of our lives, if you can picture like this massive kingdom of God with little lands that have been given to each person, and you are one of this person, I am one of this person people, and this land has been given to us, and there is borders of the land, and there's different shapes, everybody is different, the shape of the land is different. Some have hills and lakes, and some have pastures and forests, and every life is different. But think about those lands. Some have rocky lands, things that have happened in our past to us make it rocky, or there's deserts, or there's dry lands, or some of us have some industries in our lives that produce a lot of value, some good stuff. There's different towns, and there's connections to different lands, different people, and there's different towns and things like that. And there can be a lot of life in these lands, in a life. Or there can be a lot of ruins and hurt. And when sin comes and destroys us, it leaves a lot of ruin, a lot of hurt, a lot of trouble, a lot of things behind. And our lives, kind of like these lands, portray all these things that have happened to us. And in the center of this land that has been given to you is like the capital of this land, which is your heart, which is where all the decisions are made for this part of land. There is the government there. There is the military headquarters. There is the police headquarters. All these things in this land are in this capital. And I think in the same way, our lives, all of the things that actually affect our lives are based in our heart, in the inner part, in the most middle of ourselves where all the stuff happens, actually affects everything of us. Same way like in the capital, all the decisions about the land are being made. Same way in our hearts, all the decisions actually about our lives are being made. And if we are deceived in our heart, it's going to affect all of our lives. Same way, the government or the rules or the principles you come up with in the capital, it's actually going to affect all of the land. So this is the picture I'm going to use just to talk more about the heart and how we can uncover these deceptions and things and keep them away from ourselves. So the Bible says, first of all, about the heart, very important verse, Proverbs 4:23. It says, above all else, guard your heart, because it is the wellspring of life. Above all else, whatever you do else with your life, guard your heart, because this is where all of the life comes out from. This is all that you do and actually achieve in this life comes out from. It's your heart. Above else, guard your heart. And the same way, like in some trouble, can come into this land and start to take over and and come in like the enemy, starts to move his forces in to your land. It often happens, you know that. There's troubles in our lives. There can be trouble on our land. But what we need to do is to guard our heart so that it doesn't get into our heart. You can imagine like you get bitten by a snake somewhere in the forest. And your leg gets bitten, your foot gets bitten. And the poison gets into your blood system. All the doctors say, the most important thing is, make sure that it doesn't get to your heart. And they say you always got to keep it below your heart level so that it wouldn't be pushing up the venom. Always keep it below. So don't, you know. And it's the same with the trouble and enemies that come into our lives. It is so important that we keep them below our heart level, that we not let them get into our heart. Let me explain this a little bit. The truth is that sin wants a place in our heart. Sin comes in, the enemy comes in to destroy us, to make sure that to take over our lives and crush us. And it's very sneaky and very clever. They want a place in our heart. And it can come in through small things, temptations, lead us astray. But it wants a place in our heart. And I have so many friends who I've been talking about, and they say the same thing, that sometimes just some things you can't get over. Some sins you just have to accept. There's grace of God, and there's nothing to do about. I grew up with some of my cousins, and one of them, two of them I grew up with, and we talked about lots of things you struggle with when you're a young boy, and the things that come your way. And through the internet and all these things, I remember chatting with them. And we all struggled, you know, with stuff on the internet to see. And dealing with it all our lives, fighting it. You go to a conference, you confess all your sins, you cry, you weep, Lord, you know, I'm so weak. I can't do this myself. And you repent, and then you go and do it again and things like that. But these two cousins, one of them accepted it in his heart. This is something I can't deal with. This addiction to pornography on the internet. It's just something you gotta, you know, let it be there. You just ask God's grace and that's enough. And you can see his life now. It's like all good, you know. He goes to church, he loves his family, he loves his children and things. But can God actually use him? No. Does he want God to use him? No. And he's just sitting there and doing things that he feels like are easy and simple, but the actual passion for God is gone. The other one, the other cousin, always keeps repenting no matter what happens. He comes back to God and says, I'm sorry, and is looking for the option to get out of it. And this is to do with art issue. In our heart, do we accept sin? Do we give the sin like a seat in the government of our heart? Because if we do that, it starts to affect our whole lives. Because they can make decisions for us. If it's in our heart, they can make things happen to us and let more enemy in. You know, this story from Trojan War, you might have seen the movie about it, and the Greeks, they were trying to take over the city of Troy, and they were seizing it for 10 years without any success. So what they decided to do was that they built this horse. You might have called it's called Trojan horse. They built this horse, and they sneaked some men inside this horse, about 30 men. They put it inside of it. It's a myth from ancient Greek history. But the story is good. So they put 30 men in it, and they left this horse outside the gate of Troy, and they made it appear like all of the forces of the Greek were sailing away. So the people of Troy thought that this horse was like a surrender gift to them. And what they did was they opened the doors and brought this horse in, and then during the nighttime, obviously, these soldiers climbed out of the horse and opened the gates for the rest of the army to come in and took over the city. And it's like a clever way of this, getting the enemy into this city. And when we let this happen, is that will always open doors for bigger enemies. It will always open doors for bigger armies. And this is what sin is trying to do in our lives. The problem with sin is, and the things that come into our lives, is that first of all, it kills our willpower. It takes away our ability to serve God in all of that we can. It just takes away because we have this shame, this guilt in our heart, which makes us feel like we don't belong with God. And we've heard about this morning, that God is next to us, he's there for us, but often we don't notice him. Often we don't notice him, and we don't know that he's actually our neighbor. Because when we let sin take seat in our heart, it kills our willpower to be servants of God and serving him. It also stops us from being able to make decisions for God in a life, because we are governed by the enemy. There is enemy in our lives that makes decisions for us. So how can we recognize the enemy? Well, sometimes we can't. These things come into our lives, and there is a lot of it in our hearts throughout the lives. But what we can do is that we can ask the help of the Holy Spirit to recognize these things for us, to make sure that we see what they are, and then kick them out of our lives. In the same way, you know, regarding our hearts, we need to build up these walls towards the enemy and learn truths about God, learn truths about Jesus, how we can serve him. And we know that when we get hurt during the course of the life, we do build up walls in our hearts to kick things out. But we need to learn to let the good stuff in, which is the Holy Spirit. And this is what we can do today as well. I can feel there's people here with the same things. You know that things have taken over in your life, and there's decisions in your heart that you've made that this is okay. You've accepted it. You say, I'm too weak and I can't do it, and there's nothing I can do to change these things. But we can let the Holy Spirit in. We don't have to let the bad stuff in and all these decisions and the power of sin rule in our hearts. We can let the Holy Spirit in, and this is what he wants to do, and he will do it for you if you ask him to. So it's important that we keep guard on our walls of our heart, the capital of our life, because even if there's trouble somewhere, like the snake biting your foot, if your heart is still for God, you can make decisions, you can decide what to do, you can rearrange the forces and make sure that you get dealt with these things. But if the heart, if the capital is overtaken, then there's not much what you can do about it anymore. So it's important to guard your hearts. Second thing is, what if there's stuff already in the heart that needs dealing with? How do we keep our hearts? And this is about the government. If you think about the land and the capital of it and the government, because there can be a lot of pollution in there as well. And there could be things going on that aren't necessarily good for us. So let's talk about those a little bit as well. So what happens inside of the walls? You know, Jesus' words are, Matthew 6:21, is that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what you treasure in life, it kind of determines the things that are important for you, determines what the decisions of your heart will be like. What are the things that you will make from your life is what you value. Philippians 4:7. I'm going to read this. It talks about, you know, keeping our hearts in Christ, and our hearts and minds in Christ. Just so that I get all the words right here. So Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the peace of God. And this word guard here It also can be translated as it will keep. And it's the word kind of used to keep stuff securely inside. It's not about keeping stuff out, but it's about keeping things secure inside and making sure there is everything that is needed inside is there. So it doesn't matter what's going on outside. It's keeping your heart, and it's keeping it in Christ Jesus, keeping your heart and mind. It's about the same thing. It's about the center of the man being kept secure within itself. And it's only through Christ Jesus that that can happen. And, you know, the Bible is full of the verses that talk about if we give our heart to God, He will give us back everything we want. He will give us back everything we need. Proverbs 3:5 say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. With all your heart, trust the Lord. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes keep to my ways. Psalm 51:10, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And Jesus' words, Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. A lot of the scriptures talk about the condition of our heart. And if you look to God and look to Jesus, He will give us everything we need for this life on this planet. And it's the same word, keeping secure, as it's used, Peter is using in 1 Peter chapter 1. You can look it up later, but it talks about all the inheritance and all the goodness and all of the things God wants to give us. He will keep them secure within ourselves through His power. All the things He wants to give us in our hearts, it's through His power that we are actually able to receive them for our hearts and to keep them secure in ourselves. So, and it's through peace of God. So, peace of God, it comes from complete surrender. And the question of our heart is, and of our life is, who is the ruler here? Who is ruling our lives and our hearts? Is it us, or is it Christ Jesus? And I think the default of the man is that we want to rule our own lives, and we want to be the ones who rule this land and make beautiful things out of it. And this is all fine. I think God has enough in Himself that He doesn't need our lives for Himself just so that He could boast in them. But what He wants is to give us the best things that He can. And the truth is that all of the land, all of our life, is a gift from God. We know that there's nothing that He hasn't created, and all that we have is a gift from God. Paul talks, it's 1 Corinthians 4:7 as well, it says, like, if you have received it all, do not boast like you haven't. Do not act like that what you have, somehow you have made happen for yourself. Because this is not the truth. Whatever you have, whatever the land looks like, whatever you have there, it is from God, and He has given it to you. Which is the truth. We can use it and do whatever we want with it, but the truth is that it comes from God. And so the question is, are we ruling our lives, or do we surrender our lives to God and let Him rule? So when we rule, what happens is that our life starts to matter for us, and this becomes the main goal, our life. And the way that it usually is, it's about us getting to some sort of a level, and we strive for things, and we know all of this. We all do this. We strive for some things in our jobs, in our family, in our relationships. And this is to get to a better place in ourselves. And it makes sense, and we want to do this. And this is logical way of life, to make ourselves better so we can have better lives. We all do it, and it's a normal process of life. But there can be wrong reasons behind it. To make ourselves feel better, to make our land look better. And why would we do it? We would do it so that it looks good to the other lands that are next to us. We always compare for some reason ourselves to the people who are next to us. We don't compare ourselves to Jesus. who has been always perfect and done everything good, because that will make us feel really bad. But everything, if our life matters to us, we usually compare it to the people next to us, people who are surrounded by us, the lands. We want to make sure that our castles are more beautiful than the castles on the next land, in our neighbor's land. We make sure that our wealth is bigger, our farms are better, all these things that become income. It's always when you are looking at other people. And when our life matters to us the most, this is usually what we do. And the funny thing is that so when we are talking to people around us, we always talk about our strengths and we always portray ourselves better than actually what we are. And maybe you have done this because you feel like if they don't see me, if the people around me don't recognize me, then I'm going to be missed out. And that's a real fear, and often we do that. But we portray our strengths and we try to be more than what we are. And we look really spiritual. For some people, this is very important, that people would recognize we would look spiritual, we would look confident, or we would look kind, or whatever. And we make ourselves look good. But the truth is that usually these things are lies. And we don't feel like this way, so we overcompensate. I remember when I was growing up, there was this little gang of us. Siku's brother was one of my good friends, and I was this chubby kid, like a computer geek, and they were really, really fit and fast and strong. So I came up with this idea, with this story, that I was doing this some sort of crazy kung fu martial art training. And I was telling them all the time, and telling them about the practices and how insane they were, because I wanted to belong, because I wanted to fit in, I wanted to be like them, I wanted to be good enough so that they would recognize me. And obviously, it doesn't take long for them to realize it was all lies, but it's, I was shocked, you know, maybe 11 years old or something like that, that it's so easy to start to make yourself look better. We do it naturally, we want to belong, so we do it. But usually it's lies. So the truth is that everybody else can see. You know, you can look at this, you can look at the land next to you, and they can be having a party all night, and they're trying to make sure that they look like life is going on, and everything is good, and everything is fine, everything is well. But you can usually see what the condition of a life is. You can look around, you can see that there is ruins, you can see that there is rubbish on the ground, you can see that things are going wrong. And the truth is, usually people around us see ourselves better than we do. And we're not hiding anything from them, actually. And if we are making ourselves look better than we are, it's just not reality. And we lose out on the things that God really has for us. So when we let God rule, it's a little bit the opposite. And I think this is what he's asking of us, is that we would let him be the king of this kingdom. Because if a king looks all over these lands, which is us and our lives, and we may be the landlords of these specific plots and specific things, and we have the control over these things. But if we align ourselves up with the plans of the king, then we have his resources. Jesus knows exactly what our lives are like, and he knows exactly what's going on and what's happening. And he wants to involve every little piece of this kingdom in his plans, because he's on a mission to take over the world, and he's on the mission to gain lands to his kingdom, one person at a time, 1,000 people at a time, advance and take new land for himself. But the way he does it is he uses these lands that we are. He goes through these lands that we are. He goes through our lands and he asks, are you guys coming with me? Or are you going to stay here? When we are focusing on our own purposes, we can look really good and we can be blessing the lands around us. But when the king calls us to war, we usually have no idea what he's talking about, because we've been focusing about ourselves, the way we look and things like that. But God is asking us to focus on His plans. So when we let Him rule and surrender ourselves to His purposes, then His plan starts to matter to us. And I think that's what He's saying. That's why He has gathered us here. So we could be looking at His plan and making sure that this is what we are following. So what happens then is that we're not looking at our own land anymore, but we are looking at the purposes. We are not trying to look better for our own sake, but we are trying to fulfill the purpose that has been given to us. Because every one of these little lands have been placed very strategically, in a very right way, they've been shaped, and everything they have, all the resources and all the things there. You know, if you think about war and taking land and conquering the enemy, all of these things come to play. When you do the strategic movements, you think where to put troops and which way you go. All of these little lands play part in this. And if some of them are doing their own thing and building their own kingdom, the kingdom of God has to go around them. And it actually hinders the plans and purposes of God. So He's asking us to give our land for His purposes. And then we don't look to each other. We don't look for appreciation from the lands that are next to us, for the people that surround us. But we look for their help, and we are helping them. We are thinking together like how we can take the next place and how we can go to the next place. And this is the way that God has meant it for us. Because God deals with people who are real. People who look for things that are in their hearts to be sorted out. The decisions and things that we make in our capital and in this inside of our heart to make sense to us so that that we're willing to sort out those things in our heart that are not of Him. So that's important. That's why we do all these heart healing courses here and making sure that we are not following the wrong things in our hearts, because what it happens is that it leads to ashes. And everything we gain through trying to fulfill our own lives in some ways actually doesn't have any value in it. It's like ashes. There's nothing we can actually feed on in there. And I'm just going to finish with this, and I'm sure I just feel the Holy Spirit, like maybe some people feel like we don't have this heart. We don't have actually part of this kingdom that is of God's and of this movement. Maybe you can see around, you look at people and you feel like they're doing very well and they're going for God, and you feel like, yeah, but what about me? I've never had anything. All in my life is just ruins and it's just deserts. And there's nothing left. And maybe where it's supposed to be the government and the capital of your life, maybe there's nothing. Maybe you've never been able to conquer sin. Maybe you've never been able to be part of the things that God is doing, ministering, helping other people, encouraging other people. And God says this about the heart as well. It's Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Just like Margaret said before, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in the spirit. That is His desire, to come close and to actually save those who are crushed in spirit. Ezekiel says, prophesies the words of God, and it says, I will give you a new heart. And I will take away your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will take away these ruins. I'm not going to build them up. I'm going to take them away from the capital of your life, from the heart. And I'm going to take them away. I'm going to put a new government in place. I'm going to put a new system in place so that the land that you have, the life that has been given to you, will make sense in this war, in this in this battle that we are fighting for, the things we are going for as this church and as individuals. We are going forward. So it's important that we look in our hearts and make sure that we are following God. And just quickly finish with this. And this is just a little bit of response. I had this picture a few weeks ago. I was sharing. I was having a coffee with one of my friends, and I was praying about it, and I just saw this really clear picture of two mountains that were next to each other, and there was a little village between them. And one of them, you could kind of see where the top was, and there was a village, and the other one was like just going so far and so high that you couldn't see the end of it. And I saw people living in this village, and I knew that they were really capable and able to climb this one mountain. They had all the knowledge, they had all the training, they had all the equipment, all the ropes and all the boots and stuff, and it was easy for them. And they've done it many times. Take the top of this mountain. But there was another mountain there, which you couldn't see how high it was going. But in their hearts, I felt the people knew that you need this different type of equipment for that mountain. You need different type of training. You need different type of perseverance, and the air is going to be thinner, and you need to be more strong to actually receive this. But in their hearts, they weren't satisfied with climbing the small mountain. And I feel like there's people here like that. There's things that you know you could reach easily. You could do it. It doesn't take any effort from you. You could achieve things. And you're like almost built for this. It feels like it's exactly who you are. It's everything to do this you have. But you see this mountain, which is God's mountain. And which is going to be going forever and forever. And maybe you think it's too big and it's too high and it's nothing that I have. There's nothing that I have that will make me be able to climb this mountain. But I think this is what God is asking us to do, to be part of His kingdom. And everything that we have in our lives, we give to climb this mountain and go where He's going. The good news is that Jesus climbed this mountain first, and now He's giving us all opportunities to follow Him and get whatever He has for us. So should we stand? And let's just pray. And just these things, I feel the Holy Spirit really strongly. There's people who feel like their guards on the walls are a little bit weak, and often things come in that aren't supposed to be there and they take place in our hearts. And if that is you, I just ask that you would repent in your heart from these things and just kick them out. You know there's sin that you have accepted in your life. Things that you do, you think I'll never be free from it. You think there's no way I can. God says, of course you can. So you can give these things to God now. And I feel there's people who feel like their own lives are so much, too much to give up. All the things you have achieved, and all the things you have built, and all the things you have made. And God says, you know, they can all be used for something so much more. You can easily climb that mountain, one of the smaller ones. You can easily climb that, and you have achieved that many times over. But there's a higher one. I'm calling you to climb this one. I'm calling you to go on this mountain. And it's going to be different. But I'm sure God will use everything you have. He's not going to let everything go waste. He's going to use it for His purposes. So Holy Spirit, I pray right now. And if these things are you, then just you pray this to God yourself. And give them these things to Him. Lord, we just repent from everything that we let in ourselves, everything that we let in our hearts take like a seat in the government of our hearts, Lord. The enemy that is sneaky and is lying to us and is deceiving us, Lord. We just ask, Holy Spirit, you would uncover these things right now. We kick out the snakes and everything that's having a hold and effect on our lives. Jesus, we repent, that we accept the ways of this world. Because we want to climb your mountain, Lord. We want to go forever forward with you. And also, Jesus, we repent of putting our own lives first, of putting our own desires first. Jesus, we want your ways and your purposes in our lives. Amen.